The Amazon rainforest isn't what you think it is. Those towering trees and tangled vines aren't ancient wilderness. They're a garden gone wild. Beneath the forest floor lies dark, nutrient-rich soil that shouldn't exist in the tropics, mixed with pottery shards from civilizations that vanished centuries ago. This is the central revelation that upends everything we've been taught. The Americas before 1492 weren't empty wilderness waiting to be discovered. They were home to millions of people who transformed entire continents, built cities rivaling European capitals, and managed ecosystems with sophistication we're only beginning to understand. The New World was never new at all. European explorers encountered North America's eastern forests and saw park-like perfection. Massive trees spaced wide enough to drive carriages between them, grass carpets beneath, abundant game everywhere. They assumed this was pristine wilderness. They were spectacularly wrong. These forests were cultivated landscapes shaped by centuries of controlled burning. Indigenous peoples understood fire as renewal, using it strategically to create deer meadows, encourage nut-bearing trees, and prevent impenetrable undergrowth. This pattern repeated across the hemisphere. Bolivia's Beni region, flat of the pancake and larger than Illinois, is dotted with hundreds of forest islands connected by perfectly straight earthen causeways stretching for miles. From the air, geometric patterns reveal sophisticated engineering. What Europeans called wilderness was actually one of humanity's greatest works of art, so thoroughly redesigned that when indigenous populations collapsed from disease, colonists couldn't recognize it had been modified. Forests reclaimed fields within generations. This wasn't Eden before the fall. It was a garden returning to chaos after the gardeners died. When Tisquantum returned to Patuxent in 1619 after being kidnapped to Europe, he found his entire village dead, part of a coastal catastrophe stretching 200 miles. The pilgrims would build Plymouth directly on these bones. European diseases shattered civilizations before Europeans even arrived. Smallpox reached the Inca Empire in 1525, spreading through indigenous trade networks faster than Spanish conquistadors could march. The virus killed the emperor and his heir, triggering a civil war that left the empire vulnerable to Pizarro's tiny force. Wave after wave followed: typhus, influenza, diphtheria, measles. The death toll was staggering, likely 9 out of every 10 people. Entire ethnic groups vanished. The Cree lost 6 distinct groups. The Blackfoot found their Shoshone neighbors completely gone. Languages, technologies, agricultural knowledge, and oral histories disappeared in a single generation. When Europeans arrived to settle the land, they were walking through ruins of complex societies, mistaking catastrophe for primitivism. While Stonehenge was being built, the Norte Chico civilization constructed monumental architecture along Peru's coast between 3200 and 2500 BC, one of only 6 places where civilization emerged independently. This predates Egypt's pyramids, yet remains largely unknown. What makes Norte Chico fascinating is its peaceful nature. Unlike other early civilizations, there's no evidence of warfare, no defensive walls, burned buildings, or weapons in graves. Inland settlements grew cotton in irrigated valleys, while coastal communities used those nets to harvest Pacific anchovies. This trade network sustained urban centers without the violence characterizing other ancient city-states. By 1000 AD, Cahokia on the Mississippi River had become North America's greatest city with 15,000 inhabitants, larger than London at the time. Its central pyramid exceeded Egypt's Great Pyramid at its base. Meanwhile, Maya cities showcased engineering marvels. They paved swamp bottoms with crushed limestone, constructed elaborate reservoir systems, and terraced hillsides for farmland. These sophisticated centers featured complex astronomy, mathematics, and writing systems. The Maya developed zero independently, possibly before it appeared in Sanskrit. Hold an ear of corn and consider this. It shouldn't exist. Maize's wild ancestor, Teosinte, is a scraggly mountain grass with tiny, hard seeds, nothing like the plump kernels we know today. Creating corn from Teosinte ranks among humanity's greatest achievements, requiring thousands of years of careful selection. But indigenous Americans didn't stop there. They developed the milpa system, a sophisticated polyculture where corn grows alongside beans, squash, tomatoes, chilies, avocados, and amaranth. Each plant serves multiple purposes. Beans fix nitrogen, corn stalks support climbing vines, squash leaves shade the ground to retain moisture and suppress weeds. This system has sustained continuous cultivation for 4,000 years without depleting the soil, a feat modern industrial agriculture can't match. The diversity was staggering. In Oaxaca, traditional farmers maintain hundreds of distinct maize varieties, each adapted to specific microclimates and purposes. When maize production finally reached 200 pounds per acre around 2000 to 1500 BCE, archaeological evidence shows massive land clearing and the rise of complex civilizations like the Olmec. Agriculture didn't just feed indigenous Americans, it transformed entire continents. The Haudenosaunee Confederacy's Great Law of Peace predates the U.S. Constitution by centuries. Five nations, Mohawk, Oneida, Onondaga, Cayuga, and Seneca, formed an alliance governed by 50 sachems representing different clans. Every decision required unanimous consensus, creating checks and balances that limited centralized power. The 117 codicils restricted the council's authority to relations among nations, leaving internal affairs to individual communities. Sachems couldn't act against their people's wishes. The Confederacy operated on consent of the governed. Women led the clans, chose the sachems, and could impeach them. The Great Law explicitly required council members to heed the warnings of your women relatives, creating a feminist framework centuries before European enlightenment. Benjamin Franklin noted that European children raised among Indians invariably wanted to return to indigenous life, while Indians raised among Europeans always fled back at first opportunity. Indian villages offered something European society didn't: genuine liberty and social equality. Whether or not the Great Law directly inspired the Constitution's structures, indigenous ideals of liberty undeniably influenced colonial American political thought. Stand in wilderness and ask, how much is actually wild? Less than you think. From the Amazon's managed forests to North America's fire-shaped meadows, indigenous peoples transformed two continents over millennia. They didn't conquer nature, they collaborated with it, creating productive landscapes supporting millions while maintaining biodiversity. When disease and colonization shattered these societies, Europeans arrived after the apocalypse and mistook catastrophe for primitiveness. The pristine myth, the belief that pre-1492 Americas were untouched wilderness, has shaped environmental policy while ignoring indigenous land management knowledge. Terra preta, Amazonian soil that remains fertile after a millennium, was created through techniques we don't fully understand. The milpa system maintains soil health for thousands of years, while modern monoculture depletes fields within decades. These aren't primitive practices. They're advanced technologies we've dismissed because they didn't fit our narrative of progress. Recognizing this history reveals that multiple paths to complex civilization exist, that sustainability and population density aren't mutually exclusive, and that indigenous knowledge offers practical solutions to contemporary problems. The Americas weren't a new world waiting to be discovered. They were an old world, home to diverse civilizations with their own triumphs and failures.